What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's JD here, and off the top of the show, I just want to make a quick announcement that Podlist is coming back. That's right, Podlist 5, to be exact. And what is a Podlist exactly? Well, it's a podcast playlist. It's a Podlist. Podlist 5 will launch July 8th, 2024, and this is your official call for submissions. I am looking for your pavement or pavement-adjacent songs recorded on a WAV file sent to me via jd@meetingmalkmus.com or WeTransfer, preferably, because the files will be big. MP3s are okay, but WAV files rule the day. I need these files from you by June 15th of 2024 in order to make the cut, so... Get your files to me on or before June 15th. Get your band together. Pick up an acoustic guitar and just play your balls off for whatever song you choose. It's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of fun. And maybe we'll do something a little bit different this year with the pod list once it's done. When you send me the file, please send me your band name or your handle, as well as any pertinent information about the band that I need to know to introduce your song. That's what I've got for you. This is your official call for submissions. Again, WAV files on or before June 15th to make Podlist number 5 a reality.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
So this is song number 45 on the countdown, and it is our first track from Terra Twilight on the list so far. It is You Are a Light. What do you think of this track, Matt?
Personally, and hey, you know, not trying to be controversial, I like it. I think it's great.
Oh, that's not controversial.
I guess you're right. I guess everybody wrote in.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for the seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own Top 20 ballots. I tabulated the results using advanced mathematics and an abacus I found somewhere in a junk pile. And all that's left for us is to reveal this week's track. How will your favorite song fare in the ranking? Well, you'll need to tune in, or whatever the podcast equivalent of tuning in is, every week to find out. So there's that. This week, we're joined by Pavement superfan, Scott. Scott, how are you doing, motherfucker?
I'm decent, you handsome bastard. How are you doing, JD?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. Where are we talking to you from? Where are you?
I'm living in Aberdeen, Scotland at the moment. So we've recently had a good flurry of snow, good few inches. So it's been pretty, use a Scottish term for the weather, it's been pretty Baltic here.
Pretty Baltic. That's great. Yeah, not, you don't normally get snow, or?
We do.
Or just a little bit.
Usually when we do, it snows. It properly snows. Yeah. No, this slight little flurry tickling you. No, we get battered with it. So yeah, it's been the coldest it's been for a while though. Saying that, we're in pretty much in the minus all week. So it's, yeah, not been ideal, not been great for driving, but it'll go. It's going away end of the weekend.
So yeah,
goodbye.
Yeah, that's right. We're getting closer to spring, so
yeah,
thank fuck. I just hate these nights, dark nights, you know.
It used to never bother me. I used to feel I was a little bit of a creature of the night, and I enjoyed the darkness and all of that. But now I'm a little bit older, I'm like, no, give me some sunshine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let me sit outside. Yeah, let me see more of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into this.
Okay.
I would love to hear your pavement origin story. So take me away on a journey.
Well, I'd say it's kind of in two parts. So,
okay.
First time I heard pavement, I was a big music fan growing up in my youth. When I got the age of kind of being able to buy my own music, that's when Britpop hit the UK. So Oasis, Blur, Pulp, these were all my bands that were my thing into them. And it wasn't until 97 when Blur came out with in my opinion, their best album, Blur, which had Song 2, Beetlebum, etc.
Yeah.
And a heavier sound, and which, regarded to some of us as like a more American sound, whatever that equates to. But it was a bit more alternative. It was not as kind of shiny pop as they can been doing. The cheeky chappiness of Blur had kind of ditched that, wanted to go something a bit more harder, a bit more kind of probably truer to what they were listening to. And I think it was the guitarist Graham Cox, and he made the comment they took all Damon Albarn's Kix records and burned them and just left them with Pavement. And that's when I first heard them, and I'm like, who's Pavement?
And oh, wow.
In those days, there was no streaming music, so it was, and the internet was, I had the internet in my home at 97, so you couldn't really find out who Pavement were unless you read about them in NME or something like that. None of my friends knew who they were, so it didn't really mean anything. Right. Just knew they were an American band. And then my first experience of actually hearing them was they've been stereo on MTV2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was my first experience of seeing them, and yeah, blown away. Stereo, amazing. Still amazing song. And then from that, Shady Lane. Sadly, I never bought the album. Brian the Corners at the time kind of passed me by. And again, things like that are harder to find. You wouldn't go Pavement as much in your local record shops in town. So it wasn't until Terror Twilight would have been the first Pavement album I bought in 99 on CD. That age I would have been possibly just too young to go and see them live on my own. And again, a lot of my friends didn't know who they were, weren't particularly too interested. So I probably never harboured any ideas of going to see them live. And then obviously that was the final tour. And that was me thinking, well, possibly never get to see them. Come years later, I missed out on the first reunion tour where they played the Barrowlands in Scotland. So I missed that.
Oh, shit.
And then they'd played the Barrowlands. They were meant to play it on, it would have been COVID, so it must have been 2020, I believe, or 2021. They were doing a tour. It got cancelled. They were going to play the Barrowlands. Again, I'd missed out on a ticket, but through having a vaster network of friends and social media groups, it's easy to chase down tickets. So I'd probably come to gig, or I tried to get one and found one for somebody who was selling a ticket, which then led me to Primavera.
Ah.
2022. So
that's right.
Me and my friend Jamie had, we'd booked a Scottish festival called Down the Rabbit Hole. It got cancelled, COVID. So you got a choice of your money back, or you could secure your ticket for the festival next year. And I'm always one for, I'm not really interested in going to a festival for the festival. I want to know who plays first.
Me too.
So I'm like, I'm not taking a gamble. There might only be a few bands I want to see in the rescheduled year. So we thought, take the money back and we'll maybe look at doing another British festival somewhere. Then we were speaking to our friends, Donald and Lorna, and they were talking about going to Primavera 22, and we decided, yeah, let's do that. And we'd look, and we're like, Pavement, reunited. This is our first gig. And I'm like, this is it, Jamie, we need to go. That's where we're going to go to Primavera.
Just that's great.
For Pavement. And then we've seen a list of the other bands there, and we're like, this is great. So first night, Primavera, they were on the main stage, and I heard the previous podcast, you were there as well. So you just saw the first time I'd ever seen
the two. I went to Porto. I didn't go to Barcelona.
Yes.
You went to Barcelona?
I went to Barcelona.
Okay. Right.
Right. I'd imagine they did the same thing where the main stage is like two stages side by side. One band will play on one side, and then once they finish, the crew has been getting the rig up for the other band in the next stage. So it's like seamless. There's no, this taking the gear off and waiting to get the new gear on for the band to come on. It's just like one band finishes, maybe 20 minutes, you're in the next band.
Yeah, I guess that is how it was. Yeah, I'm vaguely remembering now. I was really high. So I don't have a great deal of memories other than listening to the playbacks. But I remember just being blown away by Beck. And then Pavement came on and it was like, wow, this is fucking tremendous.
Well, that was, yeah. I mean, I love Primavera as a festival. The set, the site, the layout, everything about it. If someone had catered you your dream festival, everything about it was just perfect. But it probably wasn't until Pavement kicked in, and the first song was Frontwards, which is possibly my favorite Pavement song.
It's a really good song.
Yeah. It just kicked in with that, and you're like, yeah, this is it. This is everyone, just seemed everything aligned. You're just in the right space of mind for it. You had the right buzz going. And you're like, yeah, this is perfect. And this set was phenomenal. So after that, traveling back from Primavera, we're going from a flight from Barcelona to someplace else. And then from someplace else, we're flying back to the UK. But on the Barcelona, going through security in the Barcelona flight, you're all masked up because it's just after COVID as well. So in public places, you've got to wear your mask. So as we're walking through the airport, I just kind of look over and I see this kind of big curly hair with a kind of beard under the mask. And I'm like, that's Westy. And in front of him, I see there's Bob. And I'm there in front of me, considerably in front of me. And I'm like, right, if we get through security enough time, we can maybe meet them and maybe get a photo taken. I say to my friends, Jimmy, I'm like pointing them out, and I'm like, yeah, we'll go and meet these guys if we get through there. Once we get through security, couldn't see them. And they're like,
oh, shit.
Missed opportunity. And we're coming down the escalator. And just as we're coming down the escalator, we just see this amazing figure just slowly straddling through the courtyard of the shops, carrying his case. And I'm like, that's Stephen Malthus. And just as we come down the escalator, he just kind of almost stops right in front of us. And we're like, there he is. And I just point to him. And he points back at me.
He did not.
Yeah, and we just went over and spoke to him and speaking about the gig and things like that. And he was asking about Primavera. He was pretty tired kind of thing. He'd been party the night before because he'd stayed to watch Gorillaz.
Oh,
on the main stage. So he enjoyed that. He was telling me he'd never seen them before. Just a wee chat with him. And we told him, well, they were later in the year, they were going to be coming to Glasgow as part of their tour at the Barrowlands, so we'd already got tickets, so we told him we'd see him there, and he's like, okay, you crazy guys from Scotland, catch you later. Got a photo with him. He done the strong arm pose in it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
He's such a presence, isn't he?
Yeah. Like I said, it seemed just kind of fitting for what was a magical holiday, a magical festival, just that we're about, you get the kind of, the blues are like, it's all over, you get home, and just that last minute, you get, here he is, the man you want to meet.
Yeah.
Just come straight up. Yeah. Just, I don't believe in coincidences or fate or anything like that, but just it kind of, it had to end that way. We had to meet him. So, yeah. So, following that, I saw him at the Barrowlands gig.
So, I was at the Barrowlands.
You were? Yeah.
I was, yeah. So, we might have bumped into each other had we known.
Probably. We very, very likely did. But we just never knew each other. Yeah. It's a magical place.
Gig.
Do you enjoy the Barrowlands?
Oh man, so cool.
Yeah.
The sign, like the neon sign, is so cool. The venue itself is great. And that set that they played that night was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it just kicked in. First song was Thin. That was excellent. Just like as soon as the drums start, I'm like, oh, we're playing it. And yeah, excellent. They played The Hex as well, which I was looking forward to. Another one of my favorites.
And they jammed the fuck out of it, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were great. Yeah. And then after that, to top off the year, I would just, my old friend Jamie, again, who went to me with all the Pavement gigs, he also saw him in Edinburgh the night after.
Me too?
Yeah. You get around. Yeah.
I'd never been to the UK before. I'd never been.
No.
So I wanted to go and I followed them around. Yeah. Yeah.
What better reason, eh?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, but again, you got a lot of nice venues to go and visit as well. The Usher Hall's a really nice place. Yeah. Different. My friend Jamie, he said he actually preferred, out of the two sets and the sound, he said he preferred the Edinburgh gig out of the two.
Really?
Yeah, he just
said, I like the Barrowlands better.
Mm. Yeah. I can't comment. I wasn't there, sadly. I had to work.
The Edinburgh gig was like, they opened with, what did they open with? They opened with something low key. And if I remember correctly, and it sort of set the tone. It was just a less excited show. Like it was more, I don't know, low key.
I think it's, I don't mean to be disparaging to them, but I find when you at gigs in Glasgow and Edinburgh, the kind of vibe and the atmosphere can be quite different. Glasgow seems always kind of party-like, and everyone seems
ready to party.
Yeah. And Edinburgh can be a bit more kind of laid back, a bit of a kind of cooler.
Yeah, shoegazing.
Hipsterish vibe, I suppose you could say. But
yeah,
it's his own thing. But yeah, it's Tale of Two Cities, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just different places. Yeah.
So what is your go-to record then? You came in at Brighton the Corners. And I guess you were there when Terra Twilight was released, but what is the record that you find yourself going back to more often than not?
For me, it's Wowie Zowie, I would say, is my one. I just love that.
Yeah.
It's got everything. It's the cover.
It really does.
Every single thing.
It really does.
Yeah, it's like people compared to the Beatles White album, and you can understand why. It's just a mix of things with so many different styles. everything. Everything's really different, but it does flow very nicely. There's never a moment where someone comes in and it jars, but it's like, no, that's wrong. It's too much. It's too loud. It's too slow. It's too sad or whatever. Everything's just perfect. And the way it leads you in, we dance. Such a great track. It just kind of welcomes you in just with that little subtle beat. It's got all the Pavement tricks, but it kind of lures you in. It's going to be like, come on, it's going to be a little bit different this time.
Yeah, get involved.
Yeah, because the first albums, I mean, they're pretty big songs, starting Slanted and
Trigger Cut, Summer Babe.
Yeah. So it's a kind of, it's very different, but I mean, yeah, I love that. I love Wowie Zowie. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the song that we're going to cover today, I'll give it away a little bit, is not from Wowie Zowie. We'll get to that song in just a minute if you want to stick around and talk about the song with us, Scott.
I shall.
All right. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with Scott in just a moment.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
44.
Old intuition. On your dock we're fishing. Come on now, give us a grade. A for effort and a B for delivery. C for devotion when the world starts encroaching. Bye.
Okay, so the number 44 track, you've just heard it. It's Embassy Row, the second song from Brighten the Corners after Blue Hawaiian at number 50 on the countdown. This is the seventh track from Brighten the Corners, the actual record. Scott, what do you think of Embassy Row at number 44?
Embassy Row, I do love. It's, I like, things I like about it is it kind of lulls you in with this. Quite, I feel Malkus kind of does quite a lot with his lyrics and his melodies. They're kind of like nursery rhymes, the way they kind of they flow and the structure of the set. They're quite kind of nice and gentle, and it kind of comes in quite breezy.
Yes.
And then you get the kind of Beach Boys kind of backing vocals with the ba, 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 ba. And it's just
they're
kind of
beautiful.
Yeah. And then it's
they're so beautiful.
Changes. Yeah. And then it just changes and it gets heavier. And it's probably the kind of heaviest side track on side two as well, I believe. Embassy Row. But it kicks in. It kicks in pretty hard. It's got a great solo by Malkmus as well.
It does.
Kind of that kind of lightning in a bottle kind of style where it's just crashing about. It's great.
That main riff is really good too, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those kind of things that, I mean, you don't know, was intro always there? Was intro another track that never got finished and they just flung them together? Because it never appears again. That intro part, that's it, it's done. The rest of it is just...
Well, other than the ba-ba-ba-ba's are sort of there in the chorus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're deeper in the mix. They're muddier in the mix, mm-hmm. but they're there. But that's the only connective tissue.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's nothing that, like you say, nothing that really connects them. They're very separate. So it very well could be a separate song that they just added those ba-ba-ba's on the chorus. And who fucking knows?
But yeah. And he's, I was reading something as well. Apparently, Malkmus is saying it's one of his least favorite song on the album.
It is?
It is, yeah.
Where did you get that from?
It was some website. I was looking for the lyrics and it was something called Song Meanings.
Okay.
Someone's put it. I mean, I don't know if it was an interview or something or what, but there's no quote directly. Just someone had written. Malkmus said this is his least favorite song on the album. So who knows? It may just be this person's favorite song. He's wanting a bit of backing from Stephen. Tell them. Yeah.
I love this record, like from top to bottom. I would have a tough time saying this is my least favorite. It's not my favorite song on the record, but it's certainly not my least favorite.
No. I mean, it's a solid album from all 12 tracks. It's a close contender for my favorite, along with Wowie Zowie. Those two are the albums I kind of, I'd say they're pretty much on par. I prefer the diversity of Wowie Zowie.
You get a lot more diverse.
Brighton Corners is good. Sure. It's got a nice, Round Corners, I feel, has got a really good kind of cohesive sound to it. Everything sounds as if it all is all part of the one album. It sounds, obviously, it was all recorded in the one place, but it sounds like it was recorded just in this one place. The album has a sound and feel to every song. Yeah.
Yeah, and as opposed to Terror Twilight, which is you know, produced in a more meticulous way, but a similar kind of way. Like, this is a more lush production, for sure. But this record still feels very Pavement-y. Like, whereas Terror Twilight feels like a beta test for Stephen Malcolm's solo career, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was by that point, you've read the articles and interviews that have kind of come out in the years later, and you found out that he's like trying to push the band places in Terror Twilight that they were uncomfortable with.
Right.
They weren't feeling they were kind of capable of maybe performing. That's how, I'm pretty sure Terror Twilight was a different drummer on a couple of tracks, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know who it was who did it, but I know that Westy found out that there were some drum tracks that got done by someone else, and I forget who it was. I'll have to look at the liner notes. But that's me, uncool and underqualified till the very end, underprepared, I should add to the statement as well.
But and that album, Round the Corners, I'd say, note for note, that's Pavement at their probably best as a band. Everything with them clicks. You're getting the strongest performances out of all of them, I feel. And I've obviously, that was Malcolmus was kind of again pushing them into this. You hear it on some of the kind of outtakes and improvisation that's going on in the songs, and he's like, he doesn't have lyrics for certain bits, and he's like singing to the guys like, this bit's going to go like this now, and then he's shouting the changes at them. You see him working with them in these kind of rehearsals or demos and whatever, and it's just, he's kind of, it's not like Marky Smith shouting orders at the band or something like that, but he's leading them on. He's like, you can see he's inspired with performances as well. It's pushing him on to take the tracks places that maybe he didn't see them going.
Yeah.
There's a good bit of creativity going on with them there, but none of it sounds, like, Pavement are quite a kind of improvisational band at times. Like, you get that in the live performances where there'll be some songs you'll see it one night and it'll be quite standard. Other nights, something just takes a performance somewhere else, and Martin will push it a bit further and extend certain parts. But on Brighten the Corners, they've probably not rehearsed the arse out of it, but they've put in the performances. They know exactly where the songs go, where they start, where they finish, and it's just like, it's a piece of, it's album perfection, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else about Embassy Row?
Embassy Row, I was going through the set lists as well for all the gigs. So, turns out Barcelona, Primavera, they played Embassy Row there.
Yeah.
I can't see it remember. I said, I can't, like yourself, easy recollections of it. But yeah, they played that ninth on the set, and it seemed to, a lot of the sets that I looked through, even the ones I wasn't at, they would be playing Embassy Row. It always seemed to appear in that kind of the middle to kind of the sets all the time. They also played at the Barrowlands, yeah, again. And I'd done three nights at the Roundhouse. And on the final night of the Roundhouse, they played Embassy Row there as well.
So you were at three shows at the Roundhouse?
Yeah. Yeah,
which three did you go to?
Me and my friend Jamie we'd booked a few days down and just to go to one of the gigs. We wanted to go to the one where Beak were playing.
Okay.
So I booked that one. And then I was just kind of looking about on ticket sites, and I saw some tickets come up for this third night, which was one of my other favourite bands recently. Los Bichos were the support for night three.
Okay.
So I went to that, and then I just thought, well, we're going to be down for the fourth day as well. May as well just try and get tickets. So we did.
Go for it. That's brilliant.
But yeah, I was all nights were great, and we had a great time in London. But the performances were something. The night when it was Los Bichos, the supporting band, just everything, again, just one of those nights where they were great on the, like, it was our first time in the Roundhouse, so it's kind of, you're getting in there, try to find your spot, try gauge was the best place to stand in the room for the acoustics. And it was, first night was brilliant, but second night, which was the Los Bichos night, was just everything about the sound. It was perfect. I think they started with Grounded and then went into Gold Sounds. Yeah. Brilliant.
That's a hell of a 1-2 punch.
Yeah. And I kind of unexpected. Grounded's not something you're thinking they're going to start a set with, but there they go. Just walked on stage straight into it. Excellent. Yeah. They were great. Great all three of those nights. Yeah. There was some bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your first time in the Roundhouse as well?
That was my first time at the Roundhouse. That was my first time in the UK. So, like, period. Yeah. So, for me, I think, you know, just going back to Embassy Row for a minute, I think lyrically it's an interesting song. I think that it's very cohesive, whereas SM songs aren't necessarily always cohesive. This song has this political sort of thing going all the way through the song, like from beginning to end. Even in, you know, like Old Intuition, On Your Dock We're Fishing, somebody give us a grade, and you know, you get those grades being doled out, and then where is the savoir? And I almost feel like he's making a play on Savior.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah.
Right, where is the savoir? But then he finishes the sentence and says savoir faire, which is like social graces, right? Like, which is the ability to, speak appropriately in
a knowledge of knowing what to do in every situation.
That's right. Yeah,
it's kind of like effortlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which I don't know that SM excels in that. Even though he's much better than he used to be, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He is a little awkward sometimes, you know.
I think like, he came across that way, but I think he could come across that way. And then in interviews, when you've seen videos of interviews with him, and he doesn't look too comfortable in them and speaking to people. But I think he's one of those. I mean, you probably find him in a party sitting in the corner of the room.
Yeah,
I bet if you went and spoken to him, he'd always have something good to say. It'd always be something interesting about him. So he's got a bit of savoir faire. It's just he's not walking around like James Bond with it, but he's got.
No, that's true.
He's got it. He's got his own brand of it.
He definitely does. Like I said earlier, an aura, right?
Mm. But yeah, the lyrics are, as you said, they're a bit more cohesive because I like how some of his lyrics is certain lines will lead you to somewhere and then it'll just take a completely strange turn on the wordplay or whoever he's talking about. And it's crazy. It's almost like drifting in and out of dreams. Where it's one moment you could be you're on a boat, and the next minute you're paragliding somewhere. It just and then you could be on the moon. He's just always jumping around. It's almost like it's a hyperactive mind where he's just got too much to say at once, and he starts telling you one story, and he's like, no, but now I need to get to here. Now I need to get to here. But this one, it does kind of stick. Well, some kind of it's not. You could say political. It's probably as political as Pavement got, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's political in the sense that it's got a message.
No.
But it's political in that it's describing, you know, heads of state and, you know, that sort of shit.
Exactly. And then a world of foreign feeds. Yeah.
What do you think of the ending? To me, the ending of this song just fucking slays. Like, those backup vocals and him saying, I'm going to take the crown. And he almost goes into like Kurt Cobain territory with his voice. Like it's so scratchy and so gnarly. And then it ends with that scream.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's good. It kind of takes you back to like some of the earlier stuff from like the early singles and the stuff on Slant Enchanted where it was kind of more in that kind of, you could have likened it to like what Nirvana and Sonic Youth were doing.
Yeah.
Had that kind of. Sound. And as I said, it's the heaviest track on Bright in the Corners, definitely.
I definitely think so. Yeah.
It's probably kind of punkiest moment on it as well.
Yeah.
It does the song. Once you get past the nice intro, it picks up pace and then it keeps kind of accelerating. As you said, it gets the frantic ending.
Like, not many songs from Bright in the Corners would work on Wowie Zowie, but I feel like this song could work on Wowie Zowie. Like, it would have fit.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's got that kind of energy, like a serpentine pad.
Yeah.
It's a best friend's arm as well. Yeah. It's got that energy.
Totes.
But yeah.
Well, Oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was saying I was trying to look for some good footage online, but there's not a lot of kind of live performances off it available, sadly.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah. There's a few. I mean, you got a few like shot with fans in the crowd and things like that, but there's not a lot of actual footage like isolated. Here's Embassy Row from Conan O'Brien show or something like that. There's really
right.
Nothing exists off it, really. Huh. Apart from just fan stuff. But yeah.
Well, dude, it's been great talking Pavement with you this afternoon.
Thanks, man.
And,
you too.
I really appreciate your time. Is there any place that you want to tout or plug or where people can find you, anything like that?
No, modest man, mate. Yep. I don't have any wheels to sell or anything like that. No. Well, thank you anyway. No. I mean, hopefully we'll meet each other again at Pavement gigs in the future. Or gigs or something.
We'll look out for each other for sure.
And all of us, yeah. All of us. I mean, that's it. It's been kind of nice. I mean, people who speak to me, I'm finding a community of people that love Pavement as much as I do, because kind of growing up in all through my late teens to into my 20s, because they'd went away, there were not really a lot of people I knew who liked them or listened to them or spoke to them. So it was almost like my kind of little private thing, because when the expanded edition CDs came out, I got them, and I was living with them for months at a time. They were just like getting... Because when I hear something about a band that I've just discovered, I've got that kind of energy and just desire to just like, I want to learn it all. I want to know all about them. I want to know all the tracks. And the expanded editions were just great for just like, not only are you getting the album, not only are you getting the singles and the B-sides, here's the Peel sessions. Here's a live gig thrown in. It was everything you could have wanted for those kind of sets.
Oh, they built them so good. The only thing I want now is I want them in vinyl.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, because I've got Terror Twilight, and I've got the other four on CD, but I want the other four on vinyl. And I know you can get Bright in the Corners. You can get the Nicene Creators edition on Discogs on vinyl, but they didn't make Wowie or Slanted or Crooked Rain.
No, they've done something with the
box sets.
There was something with the singles from the Slanted, the Enchanted disc.
Yeah, they did that Secret Life.
That was it.
Secret World. Yeah, so
I was thinking they were maybe going to do I was hoping they were going to do a series of them that would
catch like
it. So all the stuff that you got in the expanded editions, but it never seemed to take any fruition. Sadly.
Yeah, no.
I'd have liked that. Yeah. But good memories anyway. It was a great 2022, the year of Pavement.
Good year.
The year
good
of
year
Pavement.
In Pavement, for sure.
Yeah. Fair doubt.
All right, brother.
Okay, man. Thank you for your time. It was great to
talk
be a part
to you
of
real
it.
Soon.
And we'll be excited to see what number one is in this list.
That's right. Ha ha ha. Wash your goddamn hands.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email, jd@meetingmalcolmus.com.
Duvra podcasts and such.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.